We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Really need this new year. Now, again, that's not to say the other things weren't good. You should be healthier. You should probably be better with your finances. You know, you should be doing all of those things. But there's some things that, as I look back on personally, over the years, I've, in one way or another, personally run into a self-evaluation due to a tough personal growth season in my own life. And as I thought about what it means to be successful in Christian living, I kept coming back to these thoughts. These thoughts and these principles that when developed, they have made me better. How many know I'm not perfect? How many know you're not perfect? Tell yourself you're not perfect so you don't judge thy neighbor. Like, I'm not perfect, but man, that guy. Well, what you just did there, I just dropped down a few rungs right there. You know what I'm saying? But so there are these things where, man, if we can focus on a few things, we can be better. And this new year can be better than last year. How many people are ready to get out of 2017? There's some people in here that go, that was a bad year for me. You know, and there's some people who go, that was great, but I'm just ready for new. And wherever you are, that's fine. But I'll tell you, 2018 can be better if we decide to continue to get better and be better. A little bit more, a little bit better can go a long way. And so these concepts or principles are found in the way Jesus lived and in the word God gave us. And so I'm going to just roll these things out. I'm not even sure if they're in any particular order. I know I did it, but it doesn't. Sometimes you just do it and you're like, no, is that in order? You go, they're all good. We're just going to go down the list. Is that all right? All right. So the first thing that I was thinking about, and this one, I might not even need to explain it, but number one of the things you need to have for this new year is thick skin. You need tougher skin. In this new year, if it's going to be better, you need to be less offendable. You need to be in a position where sticks and stones, they won't break my bones. Oh, they may still, but what is it? Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. You know, you need to be in a place where people, they're going to do what they do. They're people. People get hurt, they turn around and hurt you, and you go, that wasn't fair, and they think, well, you don't know what I dealt with. People are people, and they're going to hurt you. And if you're not careful, you're going to hurt someone else. But if we can grow thicker skin, if we can have tough skin, then, man, our new year can be so much better. Man, there are so many people that have dealt with so much more drama than they should have this year. I don't know about you, but I mean, drama's not, you know, there's this saying, save the drama for your mama. I don't think your mama wants it either. That's all I'm saying. I think that if we can grow thicker skin, we will be having a better year. Allowing ourselves to become offended, allowing ourselves to have our spirits tampered with and broken over words and temporary issues will keep us from living a happy, fulfilled, and Christ-like life. You hear me? That's something that we can do. You can't just go, I'm not gonna revolve around that post. I'm not gonna let that thing on social media affect me. I'm not gonna let that person and their bad attitude affect me. You have the ability to decide that. And that's through thicker skin. And if we have a broken spirit, man, that is not good. Look what it says in Proverbs 18:14. It says this, the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? See, we spend more time taking vitamins than we do building up our thick skin. We take more time getting flu shots and all the other shots that you take, but yet you find yourself offended and you find yourself broken more often than you should be. And the scripture warns us against it. We must protect our spirit. We must protect our hearts. We must grow thicker skin so to speak in an ever-critical world. You say what? We must grow thicker skin in this ever-critical world. Because it's not going to get any easier unless you make it easier by being less offendable. Okay. We live in a battleground state And I don't mean battlegrounds because people are, you know, are constantly battling, but because there are definitely both sides of the table, both sides of the aisle. Just don't be offended. We're called to love each other. Not try and figure out who someone voted for and what they think. And no, let's love each other and not be offended by other people's views. You don't have to agree with their views. I think this world, if we re-understood that we don't have to agree on everything but still be friendly, like everything would change. Like, I don't have to agree with how you, you know, cook your steak. And man, I don't have to, and I don't agree with you cooking your steak well. That cow already died once. You don't need to kill it twice. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's okay. You can eat your steak well in front of me. Just punch it and put it on a plate. I'll eat it like that. But we can be different. It's okay. But we must protect our spirits, protect our heart. We must grow thicker skin in this ever-critical world. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirits." Proverbs 17:22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." You feeling tired? You feeling exhausted? How's your spirit? You think it's your mattress? You think it's your pillow? You think it's the person in the bed with you? You think it's your kids? You think it's everybody else? But the fact of the matter is, maybe it's just that you're allowing your spirit to be crushed. Maybe your spirit isn't in a healthy place. No mattress warranty is going to fix that, by the way. So we must grow thicker skin. If everyone likes you, then they probably don't really know you. If everyone likes you, then they probably don't know who you stand for. The fact is, we are going to come up with resistance. No one said life was always going to be easier, that everyone would always like you. I like what, you know, I've heard it said a few times, if you want everyone to like you, sell ice cream. That's it. Mark 13:13 says, "And everyone will hate you," Jesus said, "because you are my followers. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Okay. That's not the scripture you want to have with your Wheaties in the morning. But there's this understanding, I need to grow thicker skin. I can't be, my day can't be determined by how someone else treats me. My day must be determined by the one who loves me. Because in the midst of our moments, there's still a God on a throne that loves us. Amen? So don't allow others' thoughts and actions to sway you. And I think about Jesus, how he had thick skin and how he showed his thick skin. You know, it was in the middle of being mocked and spat upon. He didn't allow himself to become offended and decide not to go do the thing he was going to do. Because when he was going to lay down his life, he was laying him down for them too. It was in that moment he had thick skin to say, no, 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 no. It doesn't matter what people do to me. I'm not going to be veered off course. I'm not going to sway. I'm going to continue. Amen? The next thing, if you want to have a better new year, we've got a number two, have a tender heart. Thick skin, tender hearts. Thick skin, tender heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it." You may have issues, but there ain't no issues like heart issues. You may have family issues. You may have financial issues. You may have all sorts of issues. But having a heart issue will screw everything up. Why? Because everything flows from your hearts. We've got to guard our hearts. We must keep a tender heart so we need to understand, to allow political correctness or society or popular majority to sway us and lead us away from God's heart is to harden our heart to the things of Him and lose sight of God altogether. Did you hear me? Look what it says about the hardened heart. Look what it says in Matthew 13:14-16. It says, "This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them.'" But blessed are your eyes. Look what it says in verse 16, that you guys might not have it. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen? If we lose a tender heart, we lose the ability to clearly see and hear God. Your heart's a big issue. We got to keep a tender heart. Tender hearts reflect who God is to us. And when we have tender hearts, it allows us to reflect who he is to us, to others. Amen? Look what it says in Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. God is saying, I'm going to take out that thing that's in you. When we said yes to Jesus, when he made us white as snow, he actually said, I'm going to take away that stony heart. I'm going to give you a tender heart. So why do we get all calloused again? Why do we allow our heart to get from this tender moment, allow it to become so calloused? Why? Because we don't trust that God will protect us, so we have to protect ourselves from the world. I got to guard my heart, God. You said guard my heart. Well, that doesn't mean to grow cold to the world for the sake of what they may do to you. The world that killed him was the exact same world he was dying for. We need to have a tender heart. Look at this scripture, Psalms 103, 3 through 5. It says, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. How tender are your mercies? Come on. I'm preaching. I got a lot of scripture in here. You know it's not me. The more scripture I have in here, the more you know it's not me. The third thing that we need to focus on is open eyes. Open eyes. So the first thing, somebody, thick skin. Second thing, tender hearts. Third thing, open eyes. There are many people with sight who are living blind. To be able to see is not the same as being aware in both perception and discernment. Being able to physically see is not the same as being able to spiritually see. God, I want to live wide awake. I want to live awake in your word. I want to live awake in your world, not in mine. Psalms 119 and 18 says this, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. What does it mean? I can read them, but not truly see them. There are a lot of people that read through the Bible like a book, but they don't actually take the time to Selah for a moment. They don't know what Selah means, to sit and meditate and think on these things. We have to, sometimes in order to unlock something, you got to chew on it for a while. Like you people that cook your steak well. You just got to keep chewing for a while. Me, chew, swallow. Chew, swallow. Simple. There are many people, though, that they live with sight, but yet they're still living blind. I want my prayer. God, let me see what you see. Let me see how you see it. Let me see your word in context to my world. And even more, let me see my world in the context of your word. I want to see the things you see. And when I see my world, I don't want to see my world where I'm trying to have you in my world. I want to see my world in the context of your word. I literally need you to transform me. I need to be renewed daily in the mind. Otherwise, you lose your mind. You know, so many people are trying to free their mind so much, they lose it. You're trying to free yourself so much, you lose gravitational truths. Okay. To be of help, we must be aware. Look what it says in Isaiah 61:1. I love this spirit. Verse. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Amen? Come on, is he saying that over your life? The answer is yes. You're like, I don't know. Yes. Can we for a minute go back and look at this? Because we're talking about being aware. Let's throw the scripture back up. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to who? Are you aware to the poor around you? Are you so into what you're doing in your world and your world is so focused on your context, not his? What else? To be there for the brokenhearted. Who's brokenhearted around you? There's probably people in this room that are brokenhearted that just need a friend. But they're so callous to open up, yet we've got to go and be that help. We've got to be there for them. You know, I'm so thankful for being in a church that thinks outside of itself. You know, I've gotten all these pictures from Zimbabwe, which I'm going to share with you guys next week. But just came in late last night of the Christmas they had because of us. And, you know, all these kids in the orphanage being able to go to an American hotel and have a dinner together. Seeing villages where every person in the village gets that huge bag of cornmeal that allows them to have food for months. Why? Because we actually have the ability to say we're going to do something outside of ourselves. But we're here to proclaim that the captives are to be freed. We're here to comfort the poor and be there for them. You can't help the poor if you're one of them. We've got to be aware of our surroundings so that we can be more like Jesus. The Good Samaritan showed us what it looks like to be present and aware as he did not pass by the man in need. You know, next week I'm going to dig into the Good Samaritan a little more, so I don't want to take too much, but let's just put it this way. He's not known as the Good Samaritan because of intentions. Number four. We need to have a thoughtful tongue. Is it possible to have a thoughtful tongue these days? Or these days, is it you should be able to say whatever you feel and everyone else should just deal with it? Sometimes it seems confusing. You know, you get around carpenters and they have this saying. What do they say? Measure twice, cut once. Think twice. Speak once. We got to think before we speak. You know, I was with some of these young people at the all-nighter. I didn't stay because I don't have to anymore. It's a wonderful thing. I was kind of like the evangelist. I blew in, blew up, and blew out. It was awesome. By the way, I love seeing them have fun. There was a scooter relay in here. They had Razor scooters running around this auditorium, and I was just like, most youth would be like, does the pastor know? Yet I was the one running the scooters to show them how to do it. But it's just crazy. It's good to see them have fun in church. But this thought came to my mind that I had a thought and it was gone. Just like that, I went to the all-nighter for something. But anyway, that was fun. I just brought it up. It had something to do with something. You're like, oh, where's he going with this? No, I don't know. I had a point, though. Number four, thoughtful tongue. It needs to be calculated and controlled. You need to think twice and speak once. Oh, know what it was? Squirrel! What it was is... These young people are showing me on their phones, there are a few of them, that they can actually speed text without looking at their phone. And so they're telling me what they're texting is they're looking at me, and then they show their phone to me. And I was like, you had the ability to text that as quick as you thought it. I hope you don't press send until you double think. Until you think twice. And in the reality, in the context of the world we live, people just kind of throw up their feelings on you, and you're like, thanks. We're friends because why? Thoughtful tongue. Don't save the drama for your mama. Save it for your prayer closets. What I love most about God is he can handle the hard talks. The best person to work things out with is God. God, I don't hear you talking to me. Well, stop praying and pick up his word because it wants to talk to you. I'm not saying to stop praying. I'm saying pray and sit and wait and then get into his word and be heard. Or heard him be heard. Word? Word. So be careful and mindful with your words. Look what it says in Psalms 34, 12 through 14. It says this. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Keep your trap shut. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. What does that tell me? Peace is work to maintain. The lazy will not find peace. Those that aren't willing to work for something won't have the thing they want. So those that aren't willing to work for peace in their home won't have a peaceful home. Those that aren't willing to work for peace in their marriage will not have a peaceful marriage. Are you hearing me? We got to work for it. Okay? You don't always have to say what you think. This is a great marriage tip. Those that have any desire to be married, you don't always have to say what you think. See, young people in marriage, they think if they don't say what they feel, then they're not heard. The worst thing is to be heard in the wrong way and then feel the wrath of what you said. They're not going to feel me. Well, I'd rather not feel the wrath. I'm just going to, we'll deal with this another time. So choosing to keep your opinions to yourself. Look, you don't always have to say what you think. In fact, wise people, they speak far less than fools, the Bible says. It says in Proverbs 17:27, a truly wise person uses few words. There are a lot of men like, honey, that's why I don't talk much. A person with understanding is even tempered. Even tempered. Not that they don't have a temper, but they keep it even. You know, we're not robots. We're going to deal with anger. But the Bible says, anger, but don't sin. You can be angry, but do not sin. What does it mean? Don't put feet on your fights. Bring it to God. So choosing to keep your opinions to yourself is not a lack of forthrightness, but often a sign of wisdom. All right? Proverbs 18:2, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. That's a good one. That's tweetable. And then you'll have like at least four really, really insecure people that think you're talking about them message you and be like, what did you mean by that? And I'd be like, that's a scripture. Your tongue directs your life, James tells us, chapter 3, starting in verse 3. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest wind. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. I love the the paraphrase from the message there. That really brings it into color, doesn't it? Your tongue directs your life. If you speak it, it is far more likely to happen. Be careful what you say. Let your words be calculated and controlled. Think twice, speak. We could go home off of that. Remember this. Proverbs 18:19 says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. You know what? Sometimes it's just not worth the fight. Sometimes even if you're right, what is it going to get to prove you're right? You know, some people say, well, Chad, you know what? I just need to make sure they know that I'm right, because what if next time I'm wrong and I just need to keep it even keeled? No one says it out loud, but they got their thoughts. It's not worth it. I promise you, it's not worth it. Proverbs 18:20-21 says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Whew. There will be consequences. Number five, the next thing. If you want to have a better year, we got to focus on clean hands. Clean hands. Calculated, and controlled and thoughtful tongue. And we got to have clean hands. Let's continue to live honestly, doing good, not evil. Job 17:9 says this, the righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. If you want your year to be better and better, if you want to become stronger and stronger, you've got to focus on clean hands. You've got to be honest. You've got to be forthright. You've got to, and be calculated in when you're honest. Have you ever been in an intense argument and you realize that if you continue to push now, not only are they not going to hear you, they're going to shut down? Anyone? So wisdom says, I'm not going to play the trump card yet. That has a whole new meaning these days, doesn't it? It's okay to still use the phrase, okay? So listen, sometimes you've got to understand, look, I'm going to be honest, but I'm going to pick my spot. Clean hands. We got to be honest. Do good, not evil. Look what Leviticus 19 says. I love the message. It says, don't cheat when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and weights and measures. I am God, your God. I brought you out of Egypt. I love when God reminds you who he is. When he reminds you who he is, I think it's pretty important. Hey, don't be dishonest. And what does that mean? Back in the day, they had scales to figure out how much silver you had. And if you shifted the weight of the scale, you could give somebody less for what they truly had. And then you would be making more profit than you should. We got to be honest. We got to do things right. We got to do things in a way that God can bless and favor. We got to, what we sow, we will reap. Amen? Psalms 5:4-5 says, O God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked. Therefore, the proud may not stand in your presence, for you hate all who do evil. My New Year's resolution isn't for God to hate my deeds. My New Year's resolution is to be in a place where God can continue to bless and favor my life. Anybody else want that for their life? And as I wrap this up this morning, the last thing that I believe that we really need to focus on is a clear head, number six. So what was number one?
Thick skin.
What was number two?
Tender heart.
What was number three?
Open eyes.
What was number four? Thoughtful tongue. What was number five? Clean hands. And number six, a clear head. Your head truly is like a battlefield. We talk about it. There's so many books written by amazing people. Joyce Myers has Battlefield of the Mind out, and I know that there are like 18 books similar titled. The fact is, if you don't win it in your head, it's not going to be won. The struggle, the fight, the issue, the thing, if you can win it up here, you'll be able to follow through. Amen to that? Some would tell you to make sure you have an open mind. I would say have a clear head. Have a clear understanding of what God's word says so you will not be misled by a godless populace. What do we see time and time again throughout the Old Testament? We see God's people go through generations where the generation before them, they followed God. But then the generation after them started to be misled by the populace. And before you know it, they were godless. And then God would have to show up with a judge. God would have to show up, and God would have to send the Holy Spirit to rest on somebody. He would have to bring a prophet to tell somebody. God would have to do something to shake the whole world, to shake that whole culture so that people would remember, oh, he's still God. I would hate for these generations that are alive right now to allow the de-Christianizing, secularizing world to take hold of your household. Because the fact is this, the Bible says that at times you're going to get tougher. It's going to wax colder and colder. It's not going to be easy. And so, I was talking with somebody, a pastor locally, and we said, man, if we just preached what people wanted to hear, we'd grow our churches faster. And then one stone gets thrown into the mix and the sheep are going to scatter. And what have we done? We're going to be held accountable for not discipling well. So I got to tell you, we got to keep a clear head. Have a clear head understanding. Have a clear understanding of what God's word says so you will not be misled by a godless populace. Psalms 119, 2 and 3 says this. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil and they walk only his paths. Philippians 4, 8 says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Having a clear head is having a clear understanding of the things of God. Having a clear head is having an understanding of what God wants you to do. And having a clear head is not being misled by louder voices that would scream in the midst of your decision making. You know, people say that squeaky wheels get the oil. You ever heard that saying? In this world, choose not to listen to those that are squeaking. Choose to close your eyes and listen for the silent, the small, the stillness, that voice that comes in the midst of chaos. God can still speak to you in the still, quiet place. Would you bow your heads with me?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.